Order. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, one final piece of business we can get out of the way. The Senate apparently has passed a committee substitute for House Bill 510 relative to Asha land sales. Mr. McKinnon advises me that the differences between the House and Senate version are not great, and that their action is consistent with ours. I'll therefore move that this body concur in the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 510 and ask the members to vote yes.
Question is, shall the Senate or the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 510? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. The House has concurred in the Senate amendments, and the clerk will notify the Senate. Brings us back to committee announcements. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. To hear further comments on the committee substitute for Senate Bill 406 and committee substitute for Senate Bill 392 amended. One is an act creating energy need for all the wrong fund, and the other is
Mr. Cotton.
CRA tomorrow morning at 9, Senate Bill 740 dealing with real estate conveyance instruments.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the Select Committee on Education and the House Judiciary Committee will meet jointly at 3 o'clock in the Judiciary Committee room. Consider HJRs 73, 74, 75. All of these deal with the constitutional amendment to provide state aid to private institutions. And I might point out, for the benefit of any members who are not aware of it, that the Attorney General's opinion did come down today, and it does say that the existing tuition grant programs and so forth are unconstitutional.
Other announcements, Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 731, Park Bonds, will meet at 3 today in room 634 of the court building.
Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, I believe I missed unfinished business, and I would like to move and ask unanimous that we return to introduction of resolutions.
Hearing no objection, we'll move up the calendar to introduction of resolutions. Does the clerk have a resolution for introduction? Clerk, read the resolution.
May it be at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House will be at ease. Yes. House come to order. The clerk read the resolution.
In the House for the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, House Joint Resolution Number 76, relating to proposed federal regulations regarding the Medicaid program.
Be we given a specific referral to rules. Mr. Specking. Brings the bill before us in third reading. The clerk read the bill in third reading.
In the House for the Labor and Management Committee, committee substitute for House Bill Number 591, entitled an act relating to the employment of Alaska residents and providing for an effective date.
The bill's before you in third reading for discussion. Is there any discussion? Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have an amendment.
Clerk, read the specific amendment.
This is amendment number one by Specking and Malone. On page one, lines 9 through 18, delete all language and renumber sections.
Mr. Specking.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for House amendment number one.
We'll have to move back to third reading, Mr. Specking. Is there objection? Objection is noted, Mr. Specking.
Mr. Speaker, it's very simple. What I'm attempting to do is to remove the new language that was added to the bill through the word fiscal bonding or other consulting. It's my understanding that this language was put in principally to make certain that at least two opportunity to write his work. Whether that's right or wrong is one question, but I want to base my reasoning for withdrawing the language, moving the section, which is generally the law as it is about these additional three or four words, is that these functions are best provided, and it's in our in Alaska's interest to be able to give the services of outside counsel on many of the things that we need them for with relation to our bonding and other fiscal matters. It would appear to me that the inclusion of this language would make it very difficult to show the case going to someone who may have considerably more skill or expertise in this particular arena than what we're able to get from some homegrown version. Now, I don't want to cast any aspersions on those that are here in Alaska might be able to furnish this service, but the variety, the ability to select from a bond house that have a great deal of skill, etc., would be fairly limited by the inclusion of this language. Now, without the language, there's nothing that prevents us from using the services of those firms that are already in business here in Alaska. And I just simply think that we're unduly restricting ourselves by adoption of this language. And for that reason, I would like to ask that the language be removed.
Mrs. Fisher.
Mr. Speaker, I wasn't here when this bill was debated, but I'm going to give you an example of what could happen as far as estate buildings. If the sprinkling system bill goes through, the state is going to probably be the hardest hit on this. And I found out over the weekend that there isn't a sprinkling system office or company in Alaska, and all that would have to be done by somebody from outside. So this would mean 100% as far as the those people that know how to do the work.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, I'd point out that the only thing that this amends is includes the language fiscal bonding or other, so that the point to which Mrs. Fisher speaks is already in law and would not be changed. I'd also point out that it says that where they are available and qualified, residents shall be used. And that would not be changed. That's in present law.
Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I think the same logic that Mr. Specking's trying to apply could also be applied to existing statutes, engineering studies, other forms of consulting. I think these other things, in all probability, could probably be done in many cases better by outside firms. Yet we still give the preference to Alaskans who are qualified and available. And I don't see why that same preference shouldn't be extended in terms of fiscal bonding and other consulting work.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in looking at the bill, the present language does concern me. Alaska doesn't have the biggest population in the world of a political division of this sort. Really, how many firms are there in Alaska who presently do fiscal consulting or bonding consulting? It really makes me wonder if this amendment is intended, or if not intended, at least has the effect of only favoring one or two firms, whether or not that's good public policy.
Mr. Anderson.
Could the clerk please reread the amendment?
Clerk, reread the amendment.
On page 1, lines 9 through 18, delete all language and renumber sections.
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I just don't see the logic behind taking that out, because all we hear from people who live in Alaska, those Alaskan residents, are wanting to be given consideration on projects that are funded by the state of Alaska. And I don't see, you know, if we don't have the people that are within the state who are available and who are qualified, we still have to go outside of the state of Alaska. And I just don't see this as helping at all to remove that language.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the way I
read Section 1, it would require, for instance, a committee of the legislature who wished to bring in a legal consultant, such as we did with Dean Irwin Griswold last year. We couldn't do that the way I read this Section 1. Can anybody answer that?
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The it's possible that the legislature could do it, the statute notwithstanding, but it certainly wouldn't be within the intent of the law if it were done. Mr. Speaker, speaking in favor of the motion to return to second reading for the purpose of adopting a specific amendment offered, basically the reasons stated by Mr. Cooper are the reasons that I co-sponsored that amendment. There are a limited number of fiscal and bonding firms in the state. They do provide very good service when called upon, and in fact, I think do a considerable amount of business within the state and with the state. But that language, together with the language on other consulting services, I think is not operating in the best interest of the state. It's quite often necessary for us to obtain people with a much broader range of experience than are available within the state. And the operation of this section, if adopted, would be at least to put us outside the intent of the law. And I don't think we should adopt the law, first of all, that we don't intend to comply with, or as a practical matter, that we can't comply with. I think that the language in the bill is really unnecessary. I haven't myself heard any complaints from those people doing fiscal and bonding consulting, at least, as to how the state contracts and studies so forth are issued. There may be complaints that haven't come to my attention, but it's quite a common practice, and I think a necessary practice to continue to draw on financial expertise and other experts from other sections of the country. And I find this language here in the bill unduly restrictive. I would urge the House to adopt to go back to second reading and adopt the amendment.
Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think the language is unnecessarily restrictive. The existing statute provides that in consulting work, that if there are Alaskans who are first of all qualified and second of all available, that they be given preference. That's in the existing statute. This amendment, or the Section 1, simply clarifies it and makes sure that it does apply to fiscal and bonding consultants. But the existing statute does apply to all consulting. And I think if you're going to repeal that portion dealing with fiscal and bonding, you might as well go back and repeal the entire section giving Alaskans preference in any sort of work for the state.
Mr. Speaker,
that simply doesn't ring true in that we're talking about a very narrow category of persons with highly specialized skills. When we talk about the fiscal and bonding capabilities of these persons or firms that offer this particular service, I don't find any fault at all. I'm 101% agreement with the rest of the statute, or with the language that will be left after simply the words fiscal bonding or other are removed. I don't find any fault with that at all. But I think there is a compelling interest, the state's interest, the public's interest, to remove those words, fiscal bonding or other. And I would ask that we do that by going back to second reading.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I will vote in support of the motion to return to second reading. Because it appears that if they are available and qualified, Alaskans must be favored in this very narrow consulting area, which directly affects public policy, where there might be a handful, or conceivably, considering availability at one time or another, maybe one or two firms available. Under those circumstances, there's no requirement in at least this section that I see before us that they would be disqualified in the event that there was arguably a conflict of interest because of who their other clients might be or those persons for whom they might be working at exactly the same time. So the state would be find itself, and any state agency would find itself in a catch-22 in that regard. And I just don't think that that would be in the public interest. I will vote to go back to second reading.
Question is, shall the House return to second reading for a specific amendment? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, there are 28 yeas, 7 nays, and 5 are excused.
The House has returned to second reading. Mr. Specking, would you move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask for adoption of amendment number 1.
Yeah. Objections noted. Question is, shall amendment number 1 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
And amendment number 1 has passed the House. Mr. Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that substitute for House Bill 591 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There be no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 591, advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time.
In the House by the Labor and Management Committee, committee substitute for House Bill number 591 amended, entitled an act relating to the employment of Alaska residents and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 591 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? The clerk may take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, there are 35 yeas, no nays, and 5 are excused.
Bill has passed the House. Mr. Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent the roll call on House Bill 591 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There is no objection. The effective date clause in House Bill 591 is adopted. We're back to committee announcements. Are there other committee announcements? Mr. Elias?
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to special orders? I have another complaint.
We've reverted special orders. You have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, most of us, I think all of us, received a report in our mailbox here just recently dealing with criminal activities in Alaska. I've read the newspapers recently where they also mentioned this body is quite reluctant to build jails in those areas of the state to take care of these criminals. And House Bill 600, which deals with determining sentences, was in Judiciary Committee. We had a number of hearings on it, and we passed out a bill which I thought would at least address itself to some of those problems we're having in that particular field. Now, House Bill 600 has been in Rules Committee for nigh on a month. It's aging like wine, he says. But I think it's very important, Mr. Speaker, that we bring this bill to the floor for purpose of a vote. I think that I don't want to go home and be accused of coddling criminals. I think that we should have the opportunity to either vote it up or vote it down. It's high on the prior list of the administration. I think it's a step forward in controlling some of the activities of crime in this state.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of speaking on the relevancy of wine vis-a-vis legislation.
You have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 600 is being worked on in rules, I think, and there are a lot of people concerned. I'm sure this body's going to at some date have an opportunity to vote on it.
Someday. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, sometimes when you're aging wine, it may accidentally distill again and then turn into brandy, which is an entirely different substance. I don't know, but perhaps that's what's happening to House Bill 600, I would inquire.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Mr. Speaker, I move to ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to have the privilege of the floor to discuss a matter of threats from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, I thought the body might be interested to know about one such encounter I've had. It involved one of our bills for three of theirs. I thought that spoke highly of the quality of our legislation. And actually, it seems sort of preposterous to me. I decided to ignore it and bring those bills up in Hess Committee in the same order they were scheduled.
Any anybody else under the title of threats? Mr. Miller?
Back under the title of announcements, Mr. Speaker, the free conference on House Bill 198 will be wrapping up at 2:30 if we get out of here.
Chair might advise, perhaps threats might be minimized if you did just stand up on the floor and tell people what people told you. They have a way of being a little ashamed of it. Mr. Bradley.
Particularly with
Mr.
the President of the Senate in the back of the chamber.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will meet at 3 p.m. this afternoon, taking up first, again, House Bill 665 relating to state health planning. A couple other bills that we hope to take up this afternoon. The numbers are House Bill 888, 889 relating to D2 lands. Then at 4 o'clock, Senate Bill 696, which is an appropriation of the Governor's Office on Telecommunications for a state demonstration television project. Also, Mr. Speaker, the committee will meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with the agenda to be posted on the bulletin board this afternoon. The information, the body, the pre-conference committee on the budget, both houses having named members to those committees, is planning to meet tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, pending completion of work in each house of the daily business.
Any other announcements? Mr. Miller?
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
No objection. We're in adjournment.